There's something about that name, isn't there? Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. We're picking this up where we started last week in verse 13. This is part of Jesus' teaching for the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. You are invited and you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak in power and authority. Change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we took the first verse of this passage today, and I preached on pass the salt. And I don't know if you were here last week, I don't know what you got, if anything, what you remembered, if anything, from that sermon. But what I hope that you got is this. You know, I had always seen salt as a flavor, something to add flavor to life, and something to a preservative. But what I hope that you got last week is to understand that salt is life. Salt is life. That it permeates everything in our life. It permeates everything in our world, and without salt, we die. That's what I hope that you got last week. And Jesus, what? No pressure, church, but Jesus said, you are salt. So in us, we have the message of life. This week, we turn our attention to the second half of this passage, and I call this sermon, Turn on the Light. Turn on the Light. How many of you have seen the commercial for a company called LifeLock? A few of you. I'm not advertising, I promise you, I'm not getting a commission for this, but I want you to just see a quick little snippet of a commercial for this company called LifeLock. Go ahead, Lee.
Every 3 seconds, an identity is stolen. I'm Todd Davis, and I'm here to prove just how safe your identity can be with LifeLock. That's my real Social Security number.
No one can stop all identity theft, but LifeLock takes proven steps to reduce your risk of becoming a victim. And we back this protection with a $1 million total service guarantee.
This guy steals my identity. He goes into an RV dealership to buy this $82,000 RV. Well, he didn't know that I had signed up for LifeLock. I get a telephone call. He gets arrested. End of story.
Security, peace of mind, protection. That's what LifeLock provides.
Protect yourself, your family, and all you've worked for. Guarantee your good name now.
Don't settle for credit
that's
monitoring
good, Lee.
When you can have the industry-leading...
I promise I'm not on commission for LifeLock. Now, you're gonna understand that. If I was Todd Davis, at first, if he were sitting in the sanctuary, the owner of this company, he'd be going, hey, got me some free advertising. But Todd wouldn't like this next part. Did you realize that Todd Davis is... his identity's been stolen at least 13 times. Did you know that? I did a little research on this company, and this is not for or against LifeLock. My point is this. This man, this owner of this company, Todd Davis, he put his trust in this company that he represented. He was so sure of his trust that he placed in this company that he actually put himself out there. He actually plastered his Social Security number on the side of this 18-wheeler for the whole world to see. It didn't work out too well for Todd, but it If that side of that truck was a billboard for our life, what would be on the side of that billboard for us? I mean, what are we willing to be vulnerable for? What message do we have for a hurting world? You see, while LifeLock, and I'm not for or against LifeLock. If you're interested in that, you can check it out. I don't know one way or the other. But this is not about LifeLock. It's about this man who had enough trust in this company. Maybe it was just an advertising gimmick. Who knows? But he had enough trust that he plastered his Social Security number on the side of this truck. You see, that company, turns out for him, wasn't quite as trustworthy as he had hoped it was. But God, friends in Christ, is indeed trustworthy. Now, so I want to ask you, who are you representing? And what's on the side of your truck? I want to look a little closer at this scripture today. And the first point I want to make is, we have to understand, church, that this world is full of darkness. This world is full of darkness. Now, if that's a news flash for you, I don't know what planet you live on. Open your eyes. We are in a mess in this world. Are we not? Amen. I mean, this world, it's a mess. And the more we try to fix it, the bigger mess it becomes. Listen, I believe God understands this, and I believe God foretold this. 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is coming to the end of his life, and he's writing this letter to his protege, this man he has been mentoring named Timothy. And here's what he says to Timothy, and I believe this word is for us. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. If that doesn't describe our world today, there's not a scripture that does. Our world is messed up. That's why Jesus had to come, because it's messed up. We come from the womb messed up. Again, that scripture, any of these things, I'm not trying to depress you, but we need to understand that we live in a dark world. Why? Because Jesus as I said last week, he does not throw around his metaphors lightly. He says, be salt and be light. What does he mean by that? Well, the first thing, if we're to be light, then he's indicating that because everything else is dark, you're to be light. Church, the world is full of darkness. But one of the things about darkness, and I wish I had a way of really illustrating this, but do you realize that the slightest amount of light overcomes the darkest amount of dark? Amen. Did you know that? Light is more powerful than dark. You can't, these little flames right here, you can't create enough darkness for this light to not be seen. You can't put it in a box and try to isolate it from the light, because it is light. And light overcomes darkness. The only thing that can overcome that is to extinguish the light. Extinguish. It's not distinguish. I'm sorry, I'm getting a word lesson here. I want to tell you guys, and this kind of has been coming to my heart the more I meditate and pray about this word today. I believe with all my heart, the day of cheap Christianity is coming soon to an end. It cost us nothing today to call ourselves a Christian. It costs us nothing. In fact, if you take a survey, and I don't have the exact numbers, but if you take a survey in America, people who profess being a Christian is way up there. I mean, it's high percentage. But how many people is that? As Bonhoeffer, as Payne and I both have referred to Bonhoeffer the last few weeks, but how many of those would say are practicing cheap Christianity, cheap grace, where there is no cost to that? I believe with all my heart, the day of cheap Christianity is coming to an end. It's going to get harder and harder and more costly to call yourself a Christian. I believe it. It's coming. Because the world is full of darkness, and the darkness seems to be growing. But Christ said, be the light. Second thing about this scripture. You, as Christ's people, are Christ's light. Now, Jesus, it's interesting if you look at Scripture. First, if we go through the book of John, the first thing Jesus said in chapter 9, Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus said, you want to see light? Look at me. I'm light. Watch me. But then later on, in this passage that we looked at today, he says, you are the light of the world. So which is it? Is Jesus the light of the world, or are we the light of the world? Well, I would submit to you both. If we are in Christ, if we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then the light, which is Christ, that is within us, then we become the light. Jesus said in John 16, he says, but he's preparing, his time on earth is coming to an end, and he's trying to teach his disciples and teach us what is to happen. He says, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt, darkness, in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. So Christ is the light, and if the light lives inside of us, we are the light. Christ is saying, be salt, be light. In 2 Corinthians, you've heard me probably quote this passage before. It's one of my favorite. It's a challenging passage of Scripture to me. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are therefore Christ. Does anybody know? Ambassadors. We are his representatives, as though God were making his appeal through us. We're light. And I want to tell you, the world needs light. And it's not getting better. Something is very distinct and separate about darkness and light. Third thing I want us to look at about this scripture. Light. If Christ is the light and we live in this dark world and his light is inside of us, and so therefore we are the light, light is meant to be shared. Light is meant to be shared. It says in this passage today, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, I'm going to tell a story that I don't even think I've told. I know y'all have heard most of my stories many times. I'm my daddy's boy. But I don't think my girls or my mom probably even knows the story. And I certainly don't think I've ever shared it here. And they're all cringing now. Like, oh, my gosh, what in the world? Cheryl and I, we're great frog hunters from way back. You remember that, Cheryl? Remember going frog hunting? We were newly married, we had no children at that time. Life was still normal for us. Just kidding, girls. And we had no kids, and we had this couple friend of ours that he had no kids, and he was a big hunter and outdoorsman and all. And his daddy was the, y'all know what White's Mines out here? That's just west of town. It's a big white top West Texas mountain out there. Well, his daddy was the manager of that operation out there. So he had full access to that little mountain out there. And one night he said, let's go frog hunting out at White's Mountain. And Cheryl, you know, bless her heart, she never had a hiking boot on in her life at that point in her life. And so we go out there and we're going to go frog hunting. And I mean, it's late. It's probably close to midnight, and you got to get good and dark. And I mean, you haven't seen darkness like this. It was dark. I mean, you could not literally see your hand in front of your face. And we get out of the car, you know, and we're all, you know, a little bit intimidated by this whole event. And we realize that
we had all forgotten to bring a flashlight. Rule number one, when you're going frog hunting, bring a flashlight. Well, he's scrambling through, and he finds this little dinky flashlight in his glove box, you know, and so we've got one little wimpy flashlight, and he and I are carrying these shotguns, and we're going frog hunting. And he's in front, and there's four of us in this line, and there's this little trail leading down to the pond. And he's got this little wimpy flashlight. And you remember this? Is this coming back to you now, Cheryl? No? I promise it happened. I'm not making this up. It's only about 30 years ago. And we're walking down to this pond where there's this little trail, and we're following it and following him, and he has the light, so we're all huddled in behind him. He takes a step, we take a step. He stops, we stop. And all of a sudden, I'm in the back, and it's one of those kind of like a cartoon. He holds his hands out, and the second one holds their hands out, and the third one holds their hands out, and I'm in the back, and so we're all stopping. I don't have a clue. I can't see anything. And next thing I hear is this boom, a shotgun blast in the dark. Well, what had happened, this rattlesnake had himself coiled up on the little trail and was waiting for supper. And I don't think we were supper, but I mean he got us instead. And he saw this snake and shot the snake. I don't think we went frog hunting. I think we went back to the car and went home at that point. But my point is, we were totally in the dark. I mean, it was dark. And we were totally helpless without the light. Because of the light, we were able to see danger, and we were able to avoid danger. I want to ask you, do all your friends, do all your acquaintances, do they know Jesus? I mean, is everybody we know good? Is it all good? Are we all good? Everybody you know? I mean, we have the gift of the light. We are salt and we are light, church. We have the gift. And those without it need it. With all my heart, I plead you to share the light. Because had I not had this friend of mine in the front of me with this light, I would have been snake meal. Light is meant to be shared, and we certainly live in a world that needs the light. Fourth thing, your light brings glory to God. You see, being light, it's not just for us to receive. That's the problem that so many Christians have. It's like, oh, I'm good. I've accepted Christ. I've been baptized. I'm good. I got my ticket. I'm good. That's not the purpose of light. It's just so we will be good. What if this guy in front of us was leading us through the darkness? What if he'd taken off with the light and left the three of us out there in the darkness to fend for ourselves? No, he understood that we were all dependent upon this light. Our very lives were at stake. And so he kept us close. He protected us with the light. Your light brings glory to God. Look at this passage. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, light brings glory to God. We so many times, you know, you hear about striving for holiness, living our life and striving for holiness. It's not to earn our salvation, just to earn our salvation. It's to bring glory to God. God wants us to be a holy people, a people of salt and light, and to share that with others to bring Him glory. Anybody being convicted yet? I pray God is nailing us right between the eyes. Jesus is calling his disciples, and that's you and I, If you're a follower of Christ, if you have received the Holy Spirit, if you have called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and He lives inside of you, you are light. You have no more excuses. You are light. Jesus is calling His disciples to be salt in life. Salt is the very essence of light. Light is what protects us from the darkness. So how's your light shining, church? How's it shining? I gotta admit it. I get frustrated. I hear it from Christians all the time. It's like, well, you can be saved and not go to church. And my faith is a personal thing. It's just between me and God. No, it's not. No, it's not. Read the, somewhere. Find me the scripture that says that. No, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Be salt. Be light. He didn't say it's a personal, private thing between you and Him. Go, be salt. Be light. Who needs you? Who needs you? How's your light shining, Christian? How's it shining? Maybe it's shining bright. Or is it a personal thing? This is my light. I want to sit here, enjoy my light, and sing Kumbaya right here. Is that how our light is? Many people it is. We cup our hands to keep the wind from blowing it out, but that also keeps anybody else from seeing it. What's written on the side of your truck? Church. Look, do you like my truck? I'm pretty proud of that truck. I thought that was pretty cool. What does your truck look like? Does it look like this? Uh-oh. Would you be that Todd Davis guy and go, I'm a Christian. I'm a complacent Christian, and I've felt so good about it, I put it on the side of this 18-wheeler right here. You think Todd Davis, the owner of LifeLock, would be saying that, driving it around? Or does your truck look like this? With a tagline, go ahead, Lee. There's one more, bro. There we go. What does the side of our truck look like? Because I want to tell you, if you call yourself a Christian, you have a truck. Whether you know it or not, you have a truck. And it's presenting something. Maybe it's just blank. Maybe it doesn't say anything. Every once in a while somebody says, I'm a Christian. Maybe it's just blank. Until somebody asks you, and it has one of those flashes, flashes one time, and then it goes off. Is that our truck? Man, God is, nowhere are we called to be perfect. In fact, it's our brokenness that God uses. It's the things that He's carried us through. The things where we have failed and disappointed. It's those things that God uses to His glory. It's those things that are truly the light. I see it all the time. I see it in people that work with someone who was an alcoholic, and they help other people who are struggling with alcohol. And I see that all the time. It's like, I've never been an alcoholic. I can't really minister to those folks the way that person can. Perhaps you've been through, all sorts of things. Maybe you've been through marital strife. Maybe you've been through problems with your children or relationships, or maybe you've been in the military. There's all sorts of things that, and through Christ, you've overcome these things. There's all sorts of things that God has done in us that He wants to use for His glory. He wants to say, that's light. What I've where I've taken you from and where I have delivered you to, that's light. And that's what I want you to share. Not all the places where you've never struggled, where you've always just had your act together. That's not what God is calling us to do, is to always have our act together and just go around bragging about it. God wants to say, He wants us to say, I was broken. I was a mess. And I was broken at the foot of the cross, and Jesus saved me. Jesus redeemed me. Jesus healed me. Let me tell you how. Let me tell you how. Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Are we salt? Are we light, church? Only we know. Only we have to work that out with God. But He's asking the question, and He has made it clear that that's who He expects us to be, salt and light. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being our Redeemer. Father, I, on my own behalf, I ask you to forgive me when I'm not salt and I'm not light. I ask you to forgive me when I fail to be what you have called me to be. But Father, I want to be teachable. I want to be empowered by your Spirit to be those things. I pray, God, that you would convict us and you would empower us to be the church. To not put our lamp under a bowl. But instead to place it high on a stand where it overlooks the whole house, where it shines light to the whole house. And Father, each one of us have our own house, our own place that our lamp can impact. Show us who those people are. And Father, let us approach them with humility. But let us approach them as salt and light. Let the side of our trucks, Lord, proclaim your name, proclaim your glory. Father, we praise you that you are the light, and that you have found us worthy to place your light inside of us through the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray that when our names come to your mind, that we bring a smile to your face. And when the name Wiley United Methodist comes to your mind, that we bring a smile to your face, that we are an obedient church, that we are salt and light to a hurting world. Father, we praise you and we ask that your name would be high and lifted up this morning in Jesus' name. I invite you to close. I invite you, if you've never proclaimed Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never done that, I just challenge you to be courageous this morning and say yes to that. Say yes to that. Maybe I know people who went to church for 30 and 40 years and realized, man, I've never accepted Christ. I've gone to church, but I've never accepted Christ. If that's you this morning, be courageous. It's a great thing to do. You'll never regret that decision. If you want to also invite you to the altar, if you want to just pray and you just want to ask God to convict you, to empower you to be salt and light, the altar is open. Let's stand if you're able to close.
All the way my Savior leads me. could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart and sure. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of His love. Oh, the sureness of His promise. In the triumph of His blood, with my spirit clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your
your light shine before men and women, by the way, that they may see your good deeds and may praise your Father in heaven. Go and tell someone, share the light. We are dismissed. Be blessed.
All the way my Savior leads me. All